Day, November 18, 2025, meeting of the New Orleans Historic District Landmarks Commission, Architectural Review Committee. If you're here to speak on an item and you're not the applicant, please fill out a green speaker card and hand it to the staff so that we can call on you during the public comment portion of the meeting. The first item on the agenda is the roll call. Tracy Ash, present. Daniel Zangara, present. Amanda Romero, present. Cynthia Dudley, absent. Jonathan Tate, absent. We have three members constituting a quorum. Second item on the agenda are the minutes from the Tuesday, October 21st, 2025 meeting. Are there any comments or is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve minutes.
We have a motion by Amanda Romero and a second by Daniel Zangara. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries unanimously. All right, we are on to item three, the regular agenda. Application A, 823 9th Street. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
Hello, welcome. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Lacey Watering, 305 Willette Street.
Great, thank you. Staff?
This is an application for the renovation and a construction of a 2,164 square foot, two-story rear addition at a contributing rated one-story single-family residential building in the Irish Channel. At the previous meeting, the ARC stated that the width of the proposed side addition should be no more than one-half the width of the existing house. The floor-to-ceiling height of the first and second floors of the addition should be lowered, and the new side porch column should not be taller than the existing front porch column.
Great, thank you. Would the applicant like to make a brief presentation?
Sure. I believe I accomplished all that we discussed last meeting. It's been reduced in width and height, and the column now lines up, back new column lines up with the front existing columns.
I'm wondering about how the committee feels about the style of the existing house being clearly a craftsman style, and then the addition being detailed just kind of, you know, random column that's wider than the existing columns of the front. I just feel like there should be possibly a little more symbiosis between the detailing of the addition and the existing house.
I'm happy to do that. I'm just used to like tax credit, you know, projects where they want that differentiation.
Yeah.
But if you want it styled similarly, we, you know, can do that.
Keep that same. I like that it's a little different and that it's, you know, the priority and the focus is more for the original, so it's a little maybe less ornate in its detailing of the addition. But I do agree that, like, having it relate a bit more could be a benefit.
What would you do?
Do you have suggestions on that, Tracy? I mean, I think one thing would be for the column to be narrower. The column, the new column, is much wider than the existing columns. And I think it just adds another degree of heaviness to, you know, a large addition.
Maybe not put a transom over that side entry.
Maybe.
That would help.
Maybe.
Make it less formal.
Yeah. Subdue it a little bit.
That's all doable. I was just trying to make sure the column didn't look like it was going to, like, break, because it didn't have that pedestal to, like, sort of help with that length.
Mm-hmm. Remember, it is a good 20 feet back from the front elevation.
Yeah, I mean,
I think if it were like the width of the column of the existing column at its narrowest point, that feels like a good kind of ballpark to shoot for in narrowing.
Well, what if you didn't have a column altogether? You had filled the porch and just had a stoop and a column. Would that that make it less competitive with the front?
I mean, probably. I mean, I think it's stupid. I think it's a nice amenity to have with that door.
Yeah,
obviously. What about, so there's two pieces of fascia here.
I was just trying to help with the open web joists, so kind of breaking up and creating some additional banding there to kind of just help with that depth that's being installed or proposed.
Adding to the heaviness as
You don't
well.
Need to have, yeah, exactly. But do you need 30 inches for railing?
So we really would like to keep the 10-foot ceiling heights at the rear. So I've dropped down the front so that, as perceived from the right-of-way, it's a lower ceiling height. So I was basically trying to make that up in some detailing so that it didn't look like it was...
Because the existing is 9 foot?
Yeah. But the rooms are significantly smaller. So by the time you get, you know, the owner wants this big, wide room at the rear, 9 foot ceilings is going to feel pretty suffocating.
Mm-hmm. So maybe just a reduction in the banding.
Yeah,
I think
but
help that lead the
but
height.
But the banding helps the floor height issue too, though. It makes the sill feel lower if the banding's there. Right?
That was the idea, the hope.
And you don't want to make the column taller.
Well, I can always bring it, no matter what, that would stay the same. It'd be more of like, you just don't have that stacked
like
effect
that, you know,
above it.
Just have it on it.
Probably.
Maybe on it.
Yeah, probably. There. Okay. I guess I'm just seeing things that I wasn't looking at last time. So there's these two windows at the front that are not windows, right? They're just a surface applied.
Yeah.
They have shutters, but nothing else in the house has shutters.
Because it's a Craftsman house.
Is that?
Craftsman house, so that's right.
Right.
So that's maybe odd.
What
if we change the, like it could be a panel shutter or something that, again, I wasn't trying to match the Craftsman, so that's sort of where, you know, I could use your advice.
But that's part of the reason why I started off.
Yeah, it is. So this is a tax credit project?
No, I'm just used to working on them. So I always try to kind of instill some of that mindset of like creating that distinction between old and new.
Sure.
Would a batten shutter sort of like thread that needle with arts and crafts?
Paneled.
Yeah.
Paneled
as
well.
Is there a reason why they can't just have windows?
It doesn't work with this new floor plan. There's like a wall.
I mean, one is a
bedroom.
One's a bath.
There's a bedroom and
bathroom.
A bath.
But then the size, it's like, I dropped the sill in there to make it to where it's a bigger window. So again, that makeup for that distance is less perceived from the street.
I almost feel like you need to make the windows operable and adjust the bathroom to work, maybe. And then the bedroom can have the window and the balance, then you don't have to have shutters.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, I think that would help.
So we're back to the banding?
Well, I think, well.
It's fine, whatever you guys want. I mean, the solution is to not have a higher ceiling, but I understand why that's desirable. Because all these moves are
creating a gap.
To reduce the perception that the ceiling heights don't match.
But it's a heavy band. But it doesn't wrap the side.
It just stops there. So just if you had just the bottom banding.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that just makes us feel like.
Yeah, then you've got more wall that looks on. I mean, I think it's six of one half dozen of another. I perceive the oddity of it more with this heavy, heavy banding that's drawing my eye back here. And I'm reading that as a floor thickness.
I know. I know. Still feel like 20 feet back.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So reduce the banding and shrink the column?
I definitely think shrink the column. Reducing the banding would be fine if that's what y'all would like, but I'm just thinking it's going to be so recessed on the property that it's...
I think we should reduce the banding.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to see it.
I'll make a motion for conceptual approval with the changes discussed, including reducing the width of the new column, reducing,
height of the banding.
Oh, reducing the height of the banding at the new side entrance, and creating operable windows at the front facade of the Camelback, and eliminating the shutters.
I'll second that.
The motion by Tracy Ash and the second by Daniel Lafarge. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is 7:15 for Brianna.
You've had them a long time.
Welcome. Can you state your name and address to the record, please?
Paul Nielsen, 715 Louisiana.
Great. Thank you, staff.
This is an application for the new construction of a 3,180 square foot, two-story single-family residential building. The demolition for the existing building has already been approved in the Irish Gym.
Cindy, did you have any pre-meetings with the Irish Gym?
We have not.
Okay.
This was deferred from the last meeting to allow the applicant to be present.
Great, thank you. Would the applicant like to make a brief presentation?
Yeah, I mean, this is the house that we have. I didn't know if we had to deal with, or not deal with, but try to fit within any type of guidelines. So I attempted to stay within the setbacks that I already know exist in New Orleans, and I mean, this is what we came up with. It kind of fit the space because it's a very narrow lot.
Wendy, didn't we have, I know that they were not present at the last meeting, but didn't we talk about this or provide conversation? We didn't.
No. No. Okay. No. The last meeting was very long, yeah. So we deferred this one immediately.
Okay. All right. So this is what you have?
Yes, ma'am.
So upon learning of the HGLC guidelines, you didn't review and adjust anything? This is just a proposal?
No, I didn't know. I really don't know what the guidelines are, to be honest with you. Okay. I didn't even know we had more to do.
Okay.
I thought we were just presenting.
Well, I think for starters, when you submit to this committee, one of the things that we request is a block face elevation.
It's in the digital.
Is that in plan also?
No, I believe or it's like just a block face.
Front, okay. Yeah.
The neighboring building at 717 has also been approved for demolition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which we own that one too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you like do look at the guidelines,
yes, sir.
It'd be very helpful. There's a section on new construction
yes,
historic
sir.
Districts. Talks a lot about portions and different kinds of building elements that are a very basic way, I think, would be very helpful just to kind of understand if you're going to be doing work in historic districts, just sort of as a baseline.
Okay. So. From what you see right now, are we far from that?
Well, just elements that I think that those guidelines will help.
Okay. Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
I think the first one of which being a covered carport, that's not something that we see often. I mean, there are some instances, maybe more along like St. Charles Avenue where that exists. I think there are a lot of times ways that you can get a car parked on the property, but something like this with the second floor overhang is not too typical. And then you'll see details like around the cornice at the very top in terms of, you know, treating those details, the ornateness, the overhang
okay. With.
One of the things it talks about is sort of either a historicist approach or a more contemporary approach. And what I see when I look at this is sort of a direction of a historicist approach to the left side of the building with the double gallery kind of in a pediment, but it's not really based on historic proportions and materiality and the way that would be designed.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like if you were going to go that direction, you'd really want to study how those things are composed.
Understood.
And, you know, and then also when you have those types of buildings, how does it respond to the rest of the building, whereas you know this sort of seems attached and not really you know as an organic outgrowth of the building itself. So it's sort of like it's just attached to a contemporary box.
Gotcha. I think we struggled with the size of the lot in a lot of ways, which is probably why the facade doesn't. You know, it's not very wide. The lot is actually 30 feet wide, so it's very narrow.
Yeah, I almost think to Brian's point that it might be more beneficial for you to get into the guidelines and read the guidelines a little bit and sort of rethink the approach given the width of the lot and you know, we understand the limitations that can pose. It's possible that a more modern approach would be appropriate.
Okay.
Rather than, you know, a more classical townhouse style, which really wants to be the dimension that it is and go straight back
mm-hmm.
and not have this large outcropping at the side that's, you know, almost the same width as it again. We talk a lot about proportion and, you know, if this came before the committee as, you know, this was the original house and
mm-hmm.
this is a proposed addition, you know, we would have a conversation about the proportions and those kinds of things. So you can study all of that together along with your program, along with the lot size and try to get to where your clients need to be for the house, but be more in line with what we're kind of looking for.
And I think the footprint of the ground floor is something that we approve fairly typically. I think the fact that the mm-hmm. second floor above the parking strips is kind of what is throwing it off.
Mm-hmm.
So the massing of the building, if you remove this portion, is much more in line with something that we typically approve, which allows on these lots area for parking,
mm-hmm.
But you keep the proportions of the street space like we typically see. And then maybe if you just consider, you know, making it less specific to the Greek Revival architectural style,
mm-hmm.
sort of tone down the historicist moves that you're making. There's lots of examples of new construction on 32-foot wide lots with an L-shaped massing strategy and simple
Yeah, I think I was trying to attempt covered parking too, which was part of the, you know, what I was going for, yeah.
Right, it just that that massing is not something we typically see in the historic district.
Yeah, covered parking is really atypical in Irish Channel at all.
What is that?
This is Irish Channel.
Oh, is it Irish Channel? That's the street on Louisiana, it's considered Irish Channel, gotcha, okay.
Is there any public comment regarding 715 Louisiana Avenue? Hearing none, is there any more discussion?
I'll make a motion to defer.
There's a motion by Amanda Rivera to defer and a second by Dana Navarro. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Do you like these copies, Seth?
I'd recommend, too, if it works out with you, when you get a sort of revised plan, reach out to the staff and we can meet you ahead of the next ARC meeting.
Okay.
Kind of help make suggestions.
Okay.
And kind of help kind of lead you along the way.
I love that.
Okay.
Thank you. Sure. Do I? Yeah, okay. We can take it to.
We recycle them, so it's up to you.
One. It's my first one. I'm going to count something.
Next item is 700 Toro Street.
Pass the whole pile.
Can you have one state their name and address for the record?
State your name and address.
Oh, sorry. Lauren Hickman, 1430 6th Street, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70115. Great, thank you, staff.
This is an application for the renovation and new construction of an 816 square foot Camelback addition at a contributing rated one-story two-family residential building in full control Marini. At last month's meeting, ARC voted to defer the application for additional review. The ARC agreed that there was concern about precedent and whether the proposed form of the addition is appropriate for the existing historic building in context. The addition was noted as potentially acceptable given that it clearly reads visually as a new addition that could be removed without substantially impacting the appearance and integrity of the existing building. The ARC requested 3D eye-level render views to be provided for the next review from points along Toro, Royal, and Curlark Streets to better understand the visibility of the addition. Dimension floor plans should also be provided, including setbacks. The proposed roof and siding materials should be more clearly indicated. The HVAC equipment proposed at the roof between the second floor addition massing should be more clearly indicated to evaluate visibility. And the height of the ridge should be lowered slightly so the addition roof pitch can be lowered so it better relates to the existing slope and further reduces its overall visibility. Hmm. I'll just go through some of the changes you've made since.
Sure. I think maybe the most helpful page is the last one where I have a series of 3D views around that intersection. I would say it's a small building in between two larger buildings, but it has, you have the view from Toro Street, you have the view from Royal Street, and so, sorry, I'm trying to sneak over to Dennis's page to look at it as well, but so I think what you can see is that, you know, it's a very small snapshot that you get from the street and around the neighborhood, but you do get a little wink or peep from it at a few spots. So I wasn't in attendance at last month's meeting, but I did debrief with Dennis and we talked about, you know, the suggestion of lowering the ridge height of the addition. And I studied that. I do think it makes it become, you know, makes it a bit flatter. And reading more like a dormer than maybe its own structure, which I think is kind of where we were borrowing that form throughout the neighborhood, that kind of, rear structure type shape with the kind of like single slope roof. So what I did do is put the degree of change on the elevations just so you can note, because
I just feel like it seems like enough difference from the existing roof slope. And when we drop the ridge, you know, 1 to 2 feet, it just becomes a flatter shape. So that's pretty much the change, other than providing more information and notes regarding materiality, dimensions, mechanical, location, etc.
There is some limited visibility from Curlerick Street, but I've also included some photos from there.
Yeah, and it seems like the print, it's hard to see. No, I mean, just that Curlerick Street view, it's a sliver through, yeah.
Yeah, it's the roof surface with the solar panels that are visible.
Oh, yeah. And then one change that my client made between last month's hearing and today is he wanted to redistribute some of the solar panels to the new roof, and so you can see that on the roof plan, because they are shaded by the neighboring building, not conforming, so they did want to put those there. And then I think another suggestion, sorry, I'm just going to is differentiate in that shared wall between the first floor and the second story with almost like fascia trim. So we've added that to the elevation. I think it does help make that division. And there were some window tweaks per revision. So some horizontal windows at bathrooms.
Visibility of it from Turo doesn't bother me, because it's not really until you get this real good view down the side alley that you understand that it's part of the same building. Otherwise, it does read as an accessory structure or even the lot behind.
Something in the center of the block.
Yeah, where you start to see some weird shapes anyway.
But I think that helps, you know, seeing these in perspective versus the elevation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I was, you know, really like going from the elevation, but this makes it look like a very sort of interesting contemporary thing that's been added to it.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, so.
And from this point, that view at the bottom right of the sheet, you're never going to not see that. You know, that addition, that massing, no matter how far you tweak the, the angle, or if you want to cut it the other way.
But to your point, I think it's better to have a steeper pitch. I think it feels less like a
dormer. I agree.
Yeah.
And if we're going to allow it, we're going to allow it.
It's super interesting.
Yeah.
What's the materiality?
So we were just going to, that rear part of the house is already hardy board on the lower part. So we were going to do hardy board to match exposure above. And we've talked about a concealed fastener metal roof for the addition roof only. The existing roof's an asphalt shingle roof. We're open. It may be something that gets beat in this project. So, you know, we could totally keep that conversation going.
Well, I was just curious because, you know, the way you've got the modeling done is very clean and contemporary, and that really kind of struck my interest is to make it is you
different.
Know something contrast. Very contemporary.
Good,
and,
the contrast is good.
Yeah,
that's a very like European.
You got that shape going. Why clad it traditionally?
Yeah, do like metal cladding or something.
I would say, you know, with this client and the budget, that it's probably not going to be a metal clad building.
No.
But just, we were planning on doing clean lines, you know, simple trim at the windows. So it'd be a difference of detailing for the window trim. All the windows, we plan to have, you know, just full light fixed windows. And so
they're just fixed in a bedroom?
Well, no. But the rear bedroom has an opening to the deck with doors, so we need to do two other like casements. But we were planning to just keep it minimal as far as the detailing of the trim on all sides. The roofing, I just, you know, we thought, okay, a change in material for roof. And the metal seems to, you know, I always love that. So,
you're talking about the overall cladding, right?
The overall siding.
Not the trim.
Yeah.
Like a board and batten?
Yeah,
that's too traditional.
What is it, like, more shiplap, like?
Shiplap or something,
yeah.
Like a tub of groove, something
yeah.
That way?
Yeah. Just, again, like tighter skin.
It's like to Brian's point, like you're going this, you're doing all this stuff, it's like you might as well take it all the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Vertical was okay?
Yeah, I think
vertical
would be okay.
Yeah. You have that brake line, that horizontal brake line is a perfect place to flash
it. Yeah.
Right.
Is there any public comment regarding 700 Torres Street?
For the roof pitch, did you say it was okay to increase it back to
yeah.
How it was originally
mm-hmm.
presented?
Yes.
Looked too low.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion for conceptual approval with the comments about the cladding material and restoring the original pitch as presented. And details to be worked out of staff level.
Second.
We have a motion by Tracy Ash and a second by Heather Rivera. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Do you want this back?
You know?
Why not?
Special. Next item on the agenda is 1600 Magazine Street. Is the applicant present? Welcome. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
James Catalano, 4933 Magazine Street.
Thank you.
And Adrian Catalano, 4933 Magazine Street.
Thank you. Yeah. This is an application for the new construction of an 8,300 square foot, three-story commercial building on a vacant lot.
Would the applicant like to make a brief presentation?
Yes. So, the design calls for a three-story commercial building. A lot is empty at this nice intersection of Magazine, Felicity, and Richard Street. The design is a direct response to the zoning requirements and some of the setbacks needed for the existing power poles that go down both Felicity and Richard Street. The third level steps back to reduce the overall massing of the building. The rear of the lot has a drive that the building cantilevers over and a small parking area that is also in response to the stormwater and permeability needs for the lot. The building is built to the corner of both streets, and the main entrance to the first tenant is on the corner of Felicity and Magazine Street. The building will be owner-occupied, and the other tenant will also be an office space. Both of them are office spaces. And the material and scale of the building is really just a direct response to the immediate neighborhood and vernacular of the area. The adjacent buildings The client has a preference for something that feels sturdy and safe, and they want this to be timeless and high quality so that they can extend their generational family business for many, many, many years. The level one has a few more apertures and a little more of a human scale to have a very storefront vibe, even though this will not be a retail space. And then the second level has very large apertures as well. There is an affinity for steel framed windows and bringing light really deep into the space. This is a unique location, being the fulcrum kind of this uptown area, and you do see the building from all sides, so that facade language permeates through all four sides of the building. And being that, you know, there's kind of this blend of large scale residential historic buildings as well as the adjacency to large warehouse and industrial spaces, we felt both for zoning and for the client that keeping it two floors being the prominent facade and then stepping back kind of was a response and a blend to both of those needs.
Are any waivers required?
Yes, for the level one, we're going to go 1 foot above the street grade instead of the required 3. That was to reduce the amount of square footage needed for circulation. We can egress the ramping through the rear of the property, and we feel that the adjacency of all the buildings that are adjacent to it also kind of have that very similar lower association to the street line. So we wanted to bring it down and also maximize the head height we could get on that kind of third level. The power line clearances currently comply, but we are attempting to get all of them removed from the street face pending energies cooperation. The same for the, I think it's a switch box or a transformer that's on the corner of Felicity and Magazine, relocating that to the Richard Street sub. The client wanted green space, despite being on the smaller lot, so we will push for street trees, and there's a small buffer between the storefront and the sidewalk where we're hoping to put planters. There is one exterior space on the second level at the more acute point of the property on Felicity Street, and then the top level has a large open deck space. I'm sorry, for the second level?
The second level.
I think the goal was for the windows to be operable in some way. The client has expressed interest in sort of a large scale window where maybe a pane or two opens up sort of in the middle. You know, to allow some airflow, but certainly not open up the whole aperture.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a good idea. It just wasn't showing up, and I just was curious.
Sure.
So I think one thing that is standing out first to me is the proportions. We have a thick, heavy brick frame, and I appreciate the precedents and, you know, similar typologies that have been approved, but I think it's a has to be taken in combination with the proportion of the openings. And so for me, these ground floor openings are reading very horizontal, and the thickness of the pilaster and this planter and the setback of the storefront is feeling pretty suburban to me, as opposed to the more urban condition of the other of buildings around it on Magazine Street. I think you're picking up on a warehouse typology with the upper floor windows, but at the first floor it's less defined, and it has this very sort of flat reading. So I think that a little bit more study and emphasis on some verticality could help.
Sure. I think that maybe in the elevations it would read a little bit more clearly. I think the color of the storefront that we chose to render ended up really close to the color of the glazing, so it does look sort of big and open. But if you'd scroll over or flip over to the elevation sheets, this one, you can see it a little bit more clearly. We do have a solid base to those storefronts, mm-hmm. and the style of the storefront is really pulled from adjacent sort of typical magazine storefronts that would, you know, historically be made of wood. I think in our case, we're thinking it might be more steel, not a commercial style storefront, but more of like a custom detail. And we're showing divided lights as sort of a continuous transom situation that goes all the way around at the high points of those storefronts. And then, you know, I think dividing it into sort of series of three bays in each also helps with the proportion a little bit. So definitely hear what you're saying there. Just wanted to like provide a little more clarity since the renderings are a little dark.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the. It doesn't seem like there is an issue to me with the proportions of the storefront. It's
gotcha.
The setback of them from the facade.
I see.
I understand that they're going to be read, you know, as a tripartite opening, but because the brick is so heavy, they're also going to be read as a single opening.
Sure.
No matter what mm-hmm. color they are. And I just don't see this as a form that is familiar on Magazine Street.
It's not in that area. I agree. It looks far more warehouse inspired. Mm-hmm.
Well, the upper floors at least, and the bottom floor to me is like Touro Medical District. I'm sorry. That's just how it's feeling to me.
We did do an extensive study of the proportions and scale of this, and we definitely internally fought between going vertical versus horizontal. We felt that it's a speedy spot, you know, we do get a pause at the light there, but the entire street reads very horizontal when standing in that area. There's a lot of storefront interaction, I think, especially leading up on that stretch on Magazine with all of the balconies that overhang the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So that was a response to that. And it does, I think, get nice and fun and playful by matching the obtuse corner on the other side when you look, when looking from downtown. It is a unique client case where it's owner-occupied building, and they are very interested in making this facade detail captivating without being too modern. They're very sensitive to the neighborhood and the area. I think catty corner to the property, they have the large-scale commercial building with the residential spaces above that very much read with large storefront openings.
I think the difference there is that the upper floor windows are a bit more vertically aligned rather than the large, you know, storefront proportion taken to the second floor.
And the buildings on Magazine Street, they do, I agree with you, they do read horizontally just because of the nature of being two stories, and they have these bandings and they have these galleries, but they're getting that horizontality from their overall height and the you know, the reading of the stories themselves in these balconies. They're not reading horizontally because there's long stretches of window on the first floor, and that's what I'm having an issue with. In this
I wonder how much of it is this brick banding, this horizontal band that's adding to that, you know, the feeling of the squattiness.
I don't even think it feels that squatty though. I think it just feels too horizontal. I don't know that it feels too squatty.
Squatty or heavy is the lead I'm getting.
I mean, one of the instances of which we, the design iteration, had the columns proud of the facade. I think it's possible that making the columns more prominent with that shadow line could potentially alleviate that horizontality concern.
Other people on the committee might disagree with that, but I think that's going in the opposite direction. I think the more that you make this feel like a portico, the less it feels like it belongs on Magazine Street. The portico condition on Magazine Street is created by, gallery supports and these spindly columns, not these heavy, heavy brick projections or columns that come down. That's just not the language of Magazine Street.
How wide are the windows on the second floor?
I believe they're 8 feet.
I saw it somewhere. 6'4" wide by 8 feet tall.
They differ per side because they're sort of equidistant between each column that comes down between the storefront, and each side has a little bit different spacing, but they're all similar in proportion aside from the Felicity Street side, in which they are each a pair of two steel windows right next to each other, again in response to the proportion of that angled side.
I just think the overall proportions are very square when they should be taller, stretching more vertically. Like even the divided lights in the upper floor windows, the panes are square instead of having them. And each of those little pieces will contribute to
the overall
harmony of
thing. We're certainly open to flexing those details. With staff level, if that's something that we could push forward to.
Yeah, I think our number one concern is making sure that this overall massing is generally appropriate, and we don't have any facade sections. Hoping to get this approval first before we really dive into how that works with the envelope.
How do you feel about the penthouse in relation to the rest of it? It strikes me as an addition to an existing building instead of something that's of a piece. Maybe it's the rendering. Is the material, is it a different color? It seems to be obviously
different.
Yeah, it looks
like a dark metal.
So it just
doesn't seem very larger. The goal of the third level was to sort of step back and blend into the background as much as possible. But it's also a required response to the power lines that are along Magazine, Felicity, and Richard. We're really hemmed in as far as those clearances go. So
you know, once you pull each of those clearances from each side, that top level must step back.
Well, I like the setback, yes. With the scale of the whole project.
Sure.
But it just doesn't seem to be something that was designed with the rest of the building.
The intent there was to really try to let it fade away. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to bring that exact language, even though it's an exact offset parallel to each of the sides, and it's going to be the same window materiality and typology. But we were kind of hoping that it was just a backdrop to, or a secondary element to really a client request to get up that high, mm-hmm. And maximize the use of the verticality in that space without it feeling too imposing.
And to be able to utilize the roof deck to, for outdoor space.
So we are calling it a different material for now. The renderings are showing a metal that we've seen in a few different areas here and across the street.
Material, but it's got, this awning is very heavy. So it doesn't really, to me, recede. It kind of has to stay. Mm-hmm. And it's if you were going to do something that was going to recede, then it seems like you wouldn't want to have this very, very massive profile going.
Yeah.
It's like if something's landed up there.
Well, it's also just the general height of it, right? Is the program requiring it to be so tall?
Yes.
Just living space? I mean, there's nothing specific about the program.
It was a specific client request.
And currently in the plans, we have like a large conference room up there. It's really kind of like the space where the client can bring their clients for presentations and things like that, to bleed out to the roof deck.
So maybe what we need to look at is some precedents that might have an awning condition and how other projects have dealt with it. I think an awning up there is necessary to protect your openings, mm-hmm. but I think it can be a much more delicate awning.
Sure.
That fades away more visually than this blocky projection that sort of is picking up on the width of the banding at the top of mm-hmm. the brick here. I think that could help. And I do I really do think going back all of the precedents for the balconies, the punched windows, the brick, and the storefront. These are all vertically proportioned openings. Some of them, the punched brick does have, it's more of a square shape, but the window within it is a vertical proportion. So I think that needs to be looked at pretty carefully.
I think we could certainly adjust those to be more vertically oriented. The client was very insistent on those windows being sort of as big as possible. But we could certainly. I think they're plenty big. I think we could certainly narrow them up a little bit.
And it, yeah. I mean, you've got.
If you went like vertical like this, like
that. That's what I'm thinking
I think
about.
Collectively along the length, you won't be losing glass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, we've got. I know they're not fully detailed, right? These punch outs, but there's a bunch of steps in here that it feels like maybe if you had one less step, then the window gets that much wider mm-hmm. before you like stretch it tall.
Yeah.
So you keep that maximum glazing that you're looking for. Also, really far setback. Like I'm just having a problem with the thickness that this wall is reading. That I just don't really see anywhere else on Magazine Street. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think on the rendering there's like four pieces
step
of banding step-backs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which might be one
Which
or two
Which is great for shading the windows, and then you don't need awnings. But
So it sounds like what they're looking for is maybe assurance that the proposed massing and then
I think they'll work out
the articulation of the facade.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Is there any public comment regarding 700 Benjamin Street? Hearing none, is there any more discussion or a motion?
I'll make a motion for conceptual massing approval with the project to come back with further study on proportions, thickness of the express thickness of the brick.
Just facade or
perimeter facade. And the shading condition of the penthouse openings.
I'll second. We have a motion by Tracy Ash and a second by Amanda Rivera. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Should we take these or do you guys recycle
them? We recycle them, but we don't.
Thank you.
Okay, the next application is 1800 Joseph and Young Street.
Welcome.
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Catherine Harmon, LK Harmon Architects, 6238 Argonne.
All right, thank you, staff.
This is a review of a previously approved new construction of a 7,863 square foot two-story commercial hotel building on a vacant lot due to the expiration of previous approval. So this was last reviewed in 2019. It was recommended for approval by the ARC Commission. It's just that enough time has elapsed that the approvals have expired. So it's being re-reviewed just for that. And there are some basic changes that you'd like to have.
Yes, it's very basic changes. One of the stoops on the Joseph Guillaume place elevation, used to be the chain place, has been removed because the number of units has reduced. So it would have been like a fake stoop. And then the elevator tower moved over a little bit, which is out of sight completely, but neither here nor there. No effect to the design aesthetically, in my opinion. That's it. No other changes as far as this body is concerned. Just the windows.
Back.
Right, one of the windows. Well, there's less AC units mounted to the wall, which is a good thing. And then, yeah, a couple of windows got rearranged in the rear. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
we started working on this in 2019, so.
Mm-hmm. Is there any public comment regarding 1800 Joseph B. Young Street? Is there any more discussion?
I'll make a motion for approval of the resubmittal and any additional details to be worked out at that level.
I'll second.
A motion by Amanda Rivera and a second by Tracy Ash.
Aye.
All opposed?
Mm-hmm.
Thank
y'all.
Thanks, Nick.
This is an application for the installation of a new storefront in a garage door opening at a non-contributing rated warehouse.
Would the applicant like to make a brief presentation?
Sure. Currently a commercial roll-up door. This is a location for the New Orleans Ballet Theater, and they do use this door. When it's in use, they usually have it half rolled up, and they're just looking to change it to a storefront, something more accessible.
the dimension of the door?
16 by 17.
No,
the door. The actual door?
8 foot. Seems like the transom is way too big.
I think it needs to be the full height to that header.
The transom mm-hmm. seems like really
Or just
wide.
Remove the transom?
Oh, I see.
Just remove the transom.
No, we're talking.
We're saying two different things.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
It does look tall.
It does.
Yeah. Like if it aligned with the header
but
of these.
That would make that door irregular.
Yeah. But the door matches the other doors along the facade.
That still have like a double transom.
A single. It could be a single pane. Just be taller.
So you're just taking the header and moving it up to match the head of the adjacent windows.
Maybe. Does that make that transom then too small? I think it makes it too squatty then.
Vertical above the horizontal.
I don't know. It's looking very stripey to me.
It is very stripey.
I think it could look okay. The top header?
Width of the side light.
It is 30.
Yeah. Well, you'd have
a little
to take
less
out
than 30 that. Inches.
Oh. It's in the iPad.
And how much is the door? 5 foot, 6 foot?
73 3/4. Yes.
What is the wall material? Stucco?
Looks like an
block.
Existing
block.
I think it's just CMU painted
block. Mm-hmm. Yeah, painted CMU.
It makes sense to just lower the header
to the... Well, I'm kind of questioning the glass going all the way down. What if there was a base?
Get rid of the side ceiling. We just have a single side light.
And what? Fill it in with the panel?
That's what we're doing. So, like, the, you know, have a single side light.
I kind of like keeping, maintaining the opening.
You mean reducing the opening?
The existing masonry opening.
I don't know. What if it had a metal base? Yeah.
That probably would be helpful. Like it would be more durable at the base, you know, in terms
right,
of like.
Right, right. It would help the proportions.
What if we can pick up on the, all the way to the left? There's a little horizontal banding that looks like I haven't looked at in the photo.
That, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What if we could pick up on that line mm-hmm. and integrate something?
He is the ballet studio coordinator.
He's in we Google
love a,
photos.
We love a scale figure.
Nice, yeah, for sure. It's helpful.
He's exactly.
Because these doors look already like they're pretty tall. Like
they are.
Already atypical. That I wouldn't have known that if he hadn't been standing there.
Oh, God. Wait.
Is there any public comment regarding 9:15-30?
I was like, move it along.
No, we really are still talking.
Hearing none, is there any more discussion or emotion?
So I'm looking at the details of this thing, but it doesn't show, or at least I'm not seeing the full width of the block wall. Mm-hmm. Where does this door sit within the width of that wall?
So being worked out, but in general location, it would be towards the inner of the thickness. So it would be inset.
Okay, I think that's good.
Sure. So I'm thinking like, it wasn't a door. It wasn't a garage door.
Yeah, right.
It's just, it was actually original. I mean, do we want it to read like there was a garage door?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Especially since there's, yes. especially since we have, we have a lot of symmetry, right?
Yeah, there's an existing one that's still going to be there.
With the, right. with the same opening numbers mm-hmm. and stuff. So I do think that's important.
I think it's a matter of finding these horizontal lines. Yeah, so actually, says, now that I'm looking at the photo, I don't know if the...
put a proportion on the recess of the block in that section. It still needs...
More stepped brick from you?
Yeah, well, it wasn't me.
No, maybe it is.
Maybe it's caught up.
I kind of think you could.
I kind of think you could do.
Put the header there.
Oh, okay.
Put the header there. I kind of think you could do metal at the bottom.
Right.
And then this header aligned with this.
The windows.
And then
yeah.
Instead of maybe it's three.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of
yeah.
The, mean, that's nice. Well, it could actually do this.
Yeah, I would say keep the two. You think?
Mm-hmm.
5 feet. It would be 5 feet wide.
The other side that should be less than 2 feet.
Yeah, I would keep it. Okay. We think.
We got a plan.
We think that picking up on some of the other existing conditions on the building would be helpful. Mm-hmm. So over here, where we have this banding, this right. horizontal banding, and to also kind of reduce the vertical impact of these glass panes of this new opening, mm-hmm. to consider like having a solid base, like a metal base to match your windows, mm-hmm. and then your glass is above that. I think it would be good to consider aligning the header with these existing openings on either side, and then possibly reducing the divided lights of the transom above the header to be two, like three openings instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. You know what I mean? To just like make it mm-hmm. sort of less distinct pieces.
Less frame.
Less frame, yeah. And I think you're right to recess it as far as you can within that opening, because presumably this roll-up door is mounted on the inside face of that wall, so it's all the way in, right? So as far back as you can push that would be good.
Press it up.
Okay.
That
was a motion.
Second?
Second.
We have a motion by Tracy Ash and a second by Amanda Rivera. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Have you looked at the...
You're good. Okay.
Have you looked at the ground to see if there's any kind of, like, lip or anything where your current door...
There isn't, but... Further to the left, there is a few like step ups for the existing openings going to the side of it. So I think mm-hmm. adding that to this wouldn't be out of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just watch out for that.
Is it fine if I take that?
Yep.
Thanks. Thanks, y'all.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Welcome. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Yes, Graham Hill, 917 Hillary Street.
Thank you, staff. This is the application for the renovation and 1,000 square foot
thank you, sir.
Addition and inclusion units, one story, two family residence. And we'll talk about great, thank you. Would the applicant like to make a brief presentation?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the time, appreciate it. This is a property that has been in bad condition for a long time. It's been out of commerce, so that's first and foremost the number one goal here is to bring this property back in commerce. It's actually kind of a unique site. There's the St. Maurice warehouse on upriver, and then the Jackson Barracks downriver. So it's this one block. To the south of the property is the Delery Play Spot, which is a Norwood facility. Seems to actually be pretty well maintained. So it's a nice little section of Holy Cross kind of tucked away. But it's unique because there are two identical doubles that were built side by side here. And yeah, so the goal is really, in addition to bringing it back into commerce, just a little backstory, the owner, born and raised in New Orleans, is a musician, and this will be his foray into home ownership. He's a Bourbon Street guy, just turned 40, was able to buy this property for not very much. And we actually have a code enforcement hearing on Thursday about it, so we're hoping to get conceptual approval here so that we can show them what our plans are. But the main things for me architecturally is just preserve the two-family configuration, preserve the proportions and details that exist now. Obviously, there's a lot of restoration that needs to happen to the windows, to the openings, but really to preserve its look and feel from the corner. It actually has a unique soffit overhang that is asymmetrical to address that corner condition. And we're, you know, obviously keeping that. The roof ridge tiles are going to be maintained. All the 6/6 windows, the exterior doors with transoms, those are all going to be maintained. Inside, that home has really been modified. You know, there's really hardly anything aside from the couple chimneys and mantles that are there, which we are going to maintain. But there's really not much else to save. The back portion of the building, and so there's really, the massing is really what we're here to talk about today, and it's these three pieces. And so we were working with folks at SHPO when I first started looking at this project and wanted to distinguish the addition from the renovation portion, right? So there's this middle section, which is, you know, right now, it's basically the floor sits on the ground. It's totally rotted away. If you were to try to rebuild that roof in its current configuration, it wouldn't give you enough head height. So moving that smaller 6/6 up so it aligns with the other sills, basically, you know, extending the clapboard siding in that section up, but then, you know, trying to be intentional about separating the roof line so that you can see those stages of, you know, development, or I guess life cycles of the property. And then on the addition portion, you know, simple openings with, you know, without mullions and muntins, just, simple glazing. And then a configuration on the back, which, you know, with the hip roof is really trying to maximize the amount of afternoon sunlight that gets into that backyard. With the gable there, we did some solar studies and it just was casting a lot of shadows in the afternoon hours. So it's also the owner's planning to pursue a fortified roof certification here. So the hip roof is a criteria for that. So that was another incentive in terms of the massing. So I guess the other things to notice here that aren't in the elevations, it's on the site plan, but we are planning on doing the horizontal board privacy fence along the exterior. On the final page, you can see the rendering. You can see the fence in the rendering. There is going to be an automatic rolling gate there. But yeah, it's a, you know, trying to make the most of what exists now, you know, restore what's there and, you know, yeah, bring it back into commerce. And really the main driver in terms of the size of the addition is just the two bedroom, one bath requirement. He wanted two bathrooms, but I told him, I think this is going to get a little too big. And so we ended up settling on the 2-1, which I think works pretty well. So yeah, that's it from context perspective. You can see the elevations of the block faces, mostly one story buildings in this little block between the Jackson Barracks and the St. Maurice warehouse. So, you know, didn't want to go higher. You know, he came to me initially and asked about Camelback and I was like, I don't think that's the right move here. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Again, appreciate your time and look forward to the input.
I appreciate you trying to preserve the history of this house that you're inheriting. And I guess, you know, with, you can see currently in these photos, it totally needs some help. I see where, you know, it was, I can appreciate from these photos still though, the original form of the house. Mm-hmm. I think we can all presume that shed condition, the lean-to, was something that was added on at some point.
Might have been a porch originally, but then
right,
it was enclosed. Yeah.
So I do see, and I appreciate that with this renovation and then addition, that you're trying to memorialize each of those moves, those moments in time, by adjusting the roof form is going down. I feel though that the 3 is maybe a little too much, like it's a little bit of like a slinking caterpillar or something.
Yeah, sure.
Like an elevation, long elevation. And I want to make sure that we're acknowledging the original form of the house that has a corner and a side, a vertical trim at that corner.
Yes.
I'm not seeing it here.
Yeah, no, that you're right.
I do see it in this
one,
so I just want to make sure
the 3D, it's not represented,
okay.
But
because
yes,
I think that is important to keep.
Certainly.
And then I wonder if that is enough to then make your third length of the addition, mm-hmm, at the same height as, mm-hmm, the second.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, that you can memorialize all of these moves, all of these additions by a little more subtle woodwork or, you know, trim work on the facade.
I will say I've seen that roof line. It exists.
Oh, somewhere else in the world.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
there's a lot mm-hmm. of them in the yeah. channel and a few other places.
I mean, do y'all agree?
But it's up to y'all. I'm sure yeah. higher head
I agree.
I guess my the I agree with you a lot in a lot of ways in terms of the elevation. The challenge is, and this was partially from direction from SHPO staff, but you know, tucking in the addition walls a little
yeah.
bit from the,
uh-huh.
so then you end up with either a break in the elevation or a break
yeah.
in the roof line.
Yeah, and that is a part of, you know, some of our typical guidance that we give whenever you're adding a new
yep.
form to it, just
offset
bring
it
in like 6 inches even,
mm-hmm.
you know, just that much. But I think a lot of times we're looking at that from the side walls
yes.
and not so much also in the roof mm-hmm. to
elevation.
Continue stepping
yeah,
down.
Yeah, so we'd be more than happy to adjust the roof line to Matt. I think
mm-hmm.
that makes a lot of sense. And really we just, you know, this is where we landed, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think the owner would be opposed to that at all. And certainly from a, you know, roofing perspective, it's a little simpler, a little less flashing.
And I would imagine that the lower head height of the windows at the back of the original house
mm-hmm.
is due to stepping down within the house.
Correct.
But you're not going to be stepping down. Into
we are actually. So the
oh.
ceiling in the front part of the house is at 12, and so the rest of the house is going to be at 10.
But the but are you stepping down on the floor?
No.
Inside
no.
the house.
Right.
No. So that yeah, that was part of moving that window up. So the floor is going to be consistent. It's just the
mm-hmm.
ceiling height that would change.
So when you raise the gutter line,
you can raise the windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they can all, the header heads can match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just those smaller 6x6s that right now are in, like, I guess it was a bathroom at some point,
mm-hmm.
or maybe a kitchen back there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're just planning on raising those up to match the sill height of the others.
The sill height.
Yeah,
height.
It's a smaller
it is a smaller
portion.
Window.
Right,
the smaller one. These aren't smaller windows though. These two new ones at the back. These two brand new ones.
You said that the one in the center where the shed was.
No,
yeah,
I know,
yeah.
but I'm talking about these ones
right.
that are not aligned.
Right.
Yeah, and my goal there was again to kind of differentiate those. The sill height's
yeah.
consistent.
Yeah, they're smaller.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Is this chain wall on the side elevation correct, or is that just rendering?
It is, yeah. It's actually, I mean, and it will, you know, be repaired, but it's a stucco coat over brick. It is, yeah. I know there's a lot of overgrowth there, and it's actually been, you know, I think since these photos that he does have a contractor right now per safety and permits is essentially putting everything on hold until we get the code enforcement
point.
Stuff
yeah.
resolved so
that's so we can't raise that better one versus the 10-foot ceiling versus
the 12-foot thank you for also retaining the interior layout.
Yeah, for sure.
We don't have any jurisdiction over that, so we don't see it a lot. But we also were losing that vernacular.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm appreciative.
Yeah, and I'm guessing at some point there were pocket doors. They don't exist anymore, but it has that nice opening, and so we really wanted to preserve that. And, yeah, I think it'll be a nice little property. It's not bad for $27,000 or whatever you buy it for.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah. He did have some legal fees to, you know, clear the title.
Great.
And but yeah, it'll be.
Glad you talked about the camelback too.
Oh, definitely.
I don't know if this
yeah.
house could have taken that.
No.
Is there any public comment regarding 301 Freeview Street? Is there any more discussion, or is there a motion?
I think
the
staff can.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion for conceptual approval with the edits that we discussed regarding the massing of the renovation of the shed and the new addition for those two to share a similar roof line, some edits to the positioning of the windows on that addition to align better with the original portion of the house windows. Anything else?
Is there any there a second?
Details to be worked out at staff level and additional coordination.
So we have a motion by Amanda Rivera and a second by Tracy Ash. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
The next item on the agenda is 1437 Crawford Street, but we can discuss it, but we don't have a forum to approve it because Tracy is the architect.
Good job, Tracy.
Do we want to go forward with the review?
I think she said you don't want to go through.
No, we can wait.
Okay, we can wait.
Let's just celebrate our short agenda.
An hour and a half meeting is crazy. Wow.
So crazy.
Yes.
Hold on.
Wait, hold on.
Yep.
Wait. Before you do that.